State Surveillance of Unions. PCS assistant head demands inquiry. Tory government schemed against socialists and the CPSA. Secret government files released under the 30-year rule show that Margaret Thatcher's government directly meddled in the internal affairs of civil servants union CPSA, the predecessor of the Public and Commercial Services, PCS, union. The government was concerned about the growing influence of the forerunner of the Socialist Party, the militant, in particular militant supporter, the late John Macready, died 2010. John won the general secretary election in the CPSA in 1987. Subversives cannot be tolerated in such jobs, one official memo has been reported as stating. So the union's right wing had him undemocratically removed. See extract below from The Rise of Militant. Socialist Party member Chris Bohr, assistant general secretary of the PCS, worked alongside John Macready. Chris spoke in a personal capacity to Neil Kafferke for The Socialist. I believe you were targeted for some smear campaigns in the 1980s by the right-wing press. We were subject to a number of press smears attacking the six of us militant supporters that were on the union's National Executive Committee at the time, by various articles in broadsheets and other newspapers. But this was, of course, in the context that many of the tabloids during CPSA elections used to run the right-wing moderate slate, with an encouragement for readers to vote for them, in order to keep out the left, and in particular the supporters of the militant like myself. The papers show government officials, at the behest of Margaret Thatcher, met with unnamed leaders of the CPSA, when the CPSA was controlled by the right, to discuss the rise of militant. So why was the left, and particularly militant, growing in the CPSA in the 1980s? Well, I think you have to understand the nature of the civil service. Contrary to the media caricature of Whitehall Mandarins, in actual fact the civil service is a vast network of public service organizations across the whole UK. And CPSA represented a largely young, female, low-paid section of the workforce. Now, it's interesting to note that in the infamous Ridley report that was produced before Thatcher took up office in 1979, which set out a plan for undermining trade union power, there was specific reference to the civil service trade unions. And of course we saw a massive strike, the biggest civil service strike in history, in 1981, when Thatcher scrapped the pay agreement that had been in place since the 1950s. That was the prelude to what Cabinet Office ministers called the bonfire of regulations as various national agreements were ripped up. And there was a systematic attack on pay, jobs and conditions reflecting the government's attacks on trade union conditions and workers' rights at that time. In the CPSA membership, many of us joined the civil service, contrary to the impression given by the right wing in the union, that the problem was militant recruiting us in the first place. To be sent into the civil service, we just joined the civil service looking for work in different parts of the country. The idea we were parachuted in, to subvert the workings of the civil service, of course, is a ridiculous proposition. What happened is, that people like myself and many other CPSA members were drawn to the ideas of socialism. In particular militant, whose track record was to provide the most militant defense of members' conditions, faced with the attacks that took place at the time, led a whole series of notable disputes. And it was militant who played, I would argue, a pivotal role in building up a network of activists into what was then the broad left alliance in the CPSA. And that attracted many activists who were appalled, not just at the scale of the attacks being inflicted by the government at the time, but the abject failure of the right-wing leadership to offer any sort of resistance. And this, the union's right wing, is a political grouping who we have been able to show, has links to the state and to business. And their whole purpose was to counter what they regarded as left-wing subversion within the civil service. It was reflected in their election material. And of course, Thatcherite journalist, Woodrow Wyatt, for example, reports in his diaries that Kate Lisinska, leader of the moderates at the time, visited Margaret Thatcher at the time of the ban of unions at GCHQ. Bernard Levin, a Times journalist, used to reproduce the entire list of the right wing. As we opened up discussing, the media were always very supportive of the right wing, and assisted the right wing in their attacks on activists, who won support, because they were seen by union members, to be the most serious in fighting back, and the most serious in offering an industrial and political alternative. It's clear, isn't it, that the right wing of the CPSA, the leadership, were colluding with the government, in effect colluding with the employers. But of course that wasn't the only underhanded methods they used in the battle with the left. There were also bureaucratic methods within the union in the 1980s and 90s. One of the other reasons that militants' ideas attracted support from all the best and most active CPSA representatives is that we were those that fought to hold the leadership to account and to make the union democratic. It was we that were fighting to extend elections, to ensure that the elected leadership carried out the decisions of conference. And the question of the members having a say and exercising control over officials was a crucial theme in building up support among activists. And this was prompted by the actions of the leadership, who simply presided over the ripping up of a whole series of national agreements, including on pay, which, of course, has been used to deploy a classic divide and rule tactic and limit the union's ability to speak, act and fight back on behalf of its entire membership, due to ending national pay bargaining. There were all sorts of allegations about discrepancies in how the elections were run, all sorts of irregularities, that prompted us to challenge how the elections were run, and to constantly put the right-wing leaders under pressure to ensure that when they did take place they weren't interfered with. But the other alarming aspect of this is the discussion at a very senior political level involving interference in the operations of a trade union. In addition to the latest papers, under the 30-year rule, cabinet papers were released in 2014 which revealed that Lord Armstrong, the cabinet secretary, had presented a paper, prompted by MeFive, exposing concerns about the growing influence of supporters of the militant tendency within the civil service. It was the intelligence services that had raised this with the cabinet secretary, and prompted him to present this paper to Thatcher. To cut a long story short, it explored how, to use their words, they could quietly purge supporters of the militant from within the civil service. The reason they opted to do this quietly, rather than publicly, is actually set out in Armstrong's papers, which show that in particular the Chancellor, Nigel Lawson at the time, was very concerned, having just banned unions at GCHQ. And of course, given that in the autumn of 1984 the miners' strike was still underway, they were very alarmed about opening up another front against unions, creating martyrs, and instead opted for the operation of what they called purge procedure. This involved, rather than sacking them publicly for their political affiliation, that they should be monitored quietly, that they should be checked as to whether they are getting promotion, their work performance should be monitored, and their activities should be closely watched, to ensure that they didn't become an overt security risk. So we know that this has been going on for many years. And of course this is not an entire shock, particularly to those who've been watching and noting the level of state surveillance of trade union activity. I mean, it's significant there's a protest, on the day of this interview, the 13th of March, in support of the miners that were victimized around Orgreave. We've seen the results of the magnificent campaign of the Blacklist Support Group, in showing the involvement of big construction companies, and, allegedly, the state, in keeping records of workers, to effectively blacklist them, because of their trade union activity. This indicates the extent, the massive extent of state surveillance of trade union activities. And I think it would be naive to think, that what was taking place in the 1980s, in light of what we know today, that there is not still surveillance of trade union activity. Which prompts, I think, a perfectly reasonable call for a proper public investigation. Very much so, particularly in the context of what we know about blacklisting for construction workers. So what kind of action do you think should be taken now, on the heel of these revelations? I'm effectively John McRae's equivalent, as the Assistant General Secretary of PCS. So I think there should be a discussion about how we raise concerns about what the employer is up to, in particular the Cabinet Office, who've not surprisingly declined to comment. We should officially ask the Cabinet Office about what surveillance is taking place of trade unionists today. But I think more fundamentally, that we now need to raise a call for a proper public investigation into the monitoring of trade union activists. And in the light of the Pitchford inquiry into undercover policing, we need to speak to lawyers involved in that, other trade unionists, that have been subjected to monitoring and victimization. We should have a discussion about how we raise a very public and clear call for a public investigation into the interference and subverting of legitimate areas of trade union activity. And to expose the extent to which individuals have been targeted because of their support for socialists in the past, militant, and we know through Pitchford, the targeting of Socialist Party members as well. We need to raise this within the union, raise it with the employer, discuss with other trade union colleagues, and think about how we can increase pressure for, if not Pitchford, certainly for a proper public investigation into what the state and government has been up to.